Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Comic Movie Universe, a.k.a. the CMU, where I talk about the latest superhero movie news and get my thoughts and opinions on different topics. Today's episode will be focusing on the review of the new Ant-Man movie. But before we get into that, I want to finish up some of my thoughts on the Fantastic Four movie. So I did the review last episode, I think there's a lot to say about this movie, and I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it today. I think I got most of my points across, but I did just a few little things I wanted to touch on before I leave it alone. And also with the box office numbers coming out and the final reviews, now that we had a weekend to see it, I wanted to touch on that a little bit. So with that being said, I took some time to listen to a lot of different reviews of the movie from different people. And basically, as we know with the critic reviews and Rotten Tomato reviews and all that, the overall opinion has been, really bad. So as we sit here at the end of the weekend or middle of Sunday, pretty much end of the weekend, it sits at a 9% on the Rotten Tomatoes, and the box office numbers came through at about $26.5 million. So this movie, which was tracking around $45 million, and $50 million would have been a low number, but it would have been acceptable, I believe. This movie had a budget of about $120 million, something like that, plus your marketing, $120 million. So I think $50 million, which is around, I believe, what Ant-Man hit, I believe that would have been an acceptable number, not quite what the studio would want, but an acceptable number. So it's tracking around $45 million, and then it ended up coming through with $26.5 million. Now, there's no doubt that positive buzz, just like negative buzz, affects a movie. I think the overwhelming amount of negative buzz for this movie definitely made the hit on the opening weekend. Again, for this movie, I think, not just people saying this was a bad movie, but to go to the extent to tell people, don't go see the movie. Like, literally, I'm not even telling you this is why I'm saying just don't go see the movie. And people heeded. So $26.5 million is just a bust. That's a box office bust. Now, with that being said, money talks for studios. We understand that. That's how they determine success. It's their business. But as a movie fan, and you're going to have your own personal opinion, I pretty much said what I felt about it. I do think this is a good movie that's going to get hidden in the fact, or I would say a decent movie that gets hidden in the fact of all the negative buzz around it and the rumors. And Josh Trank, heard him. The day the movie opened, Josh Trank puts that tweet out, basically trying to get himself out of the scapegoat situation and say, if you want to blame people, blame Fox. So that never helps. That never helps at all. Even if you got movies like The Avengers, you got a guy like Josh Whedon who knew he couldn't just, because this was not the Avengers Age of Ultron that Josh Whedon wanted. They changed a lot of his stuff. But he knew that he could never go out and just, throw them under the bus that way. Just, you never want to do that. Because critics are one thing, friends, family is one thing. But the director himself comes out and does that, man, that is the red flag. So that didn't help. And, all the things of that nature just really hit this movie. And I think it's going to get buried under the fact. I think a decent movie gets buried under what people say. And then not only that, you have people that still go see the movie that just have all that stuff in their head of what people are saying. And I'm sorry, but that does affect your movie-going experience. You might be a stronger person where you can block it out and look for yourself, but a lot of people, that's going to affect what they see. With that being said, the low box office numbers and then a terrible critic reception, I think that's in. I'm not sure it's been confirmed. I doubt it was confirmed, but there has been the talk that Deadpool 2 has taken Fantastic Four 2's slot as far as the movie date. I believe someone from Fox, maybe not officially, but came out and said that Fantastic Four is not connected to X-Men. So it's safe to assume at this point that Fox is going to be scrapping any future plans with this movie. That being said, I think it's really sad. I think it's really unfortunate for the cast, which I thought came together as a really good young actors. And I thought they had good chemistry. And I was really excited to see what they could bring next to this movie. I think it's unfortunate for the fans because the really disappointing part is not just the Fantastic Four fans. I think the overall superhero fans lost out because this was something that was going to cross over with X-Men. And so we were going to potentially see Doctor Doom and Apocalypse or Doctor Doom and Magneto, who knows, and then Deadpool with Fantastic. And we were going to see all that on the screen in the same way that we love seeing Avengers, in the same way that we're hyped to see Batman Superman on the same screen. We were going to get that from the Fox group. But now it seems those plans have turned over. As far as the rights, a lot of people saying, well, the rights are going back to Marvel. That's not true. So here, with the rights, they have to make a movie in a certain time period to maintain the rights. The movie doesn't have to make a certain number or do any certain thing for them to keep it. So this movie flopping doesn't mean that Fox loses the rights. Now, some people correctly saying they should sell the rights to Marvel because they feel like they don't know how to make this property work. That's one suggestion, but it's not the reality. The reality is Fox can do whatever they want. They can come out next year with another Fantastic Four movie with a different reboot if they want it, because it's still theirs. As I said, believe that it should stay with Fox because that, with the X-Men and the Deadpool, and then Gambit will be a part of that. I really want to see that universe together because X-Men adding Deadpool and then adding Gambit is not enough. I love those movies, but it's not enough. It's like really good right now, but I think Fox could go to the next level if they expand their universe and cross over these movies. So I think Fantastic Four is vital for Fox. And it's not that I don't think Marvel would do a good job or anything. It's just that, Marvel has enough. DC has enough. Sony didn't have anything, but they're working with Marvel now. But Fox has enough right now. But giving away Fantastic Four, I don't think you have enough, because along with Fantastic Four is the Silver Surfer and the Galactus property. And I don't see enough with just the X-Men and Deadpool property. It'll continue to be good if they put out good movies, but to go to the next level, and because the best is when we have a group of universes competing. If Marvel gets a monopoly on things, it's not going to be as good. They don't have enough time and money to make all these movies. Like you would see a Fantastic Four movie once every 7 years or so. It's just not enough time and resources. But when you have it at another studio in their universe, they have time to keep putting these movies out. So I think we all lose as fans right now, and I think we would lose if it goes back to Marvel in whatever way. So I think that's really sad. Also, listening to a lot of the reviews, I'm not one of those guys that just go with my biased opinion. I know what I like, but I do go with my ears open. And some of these reviews did point out a good amount of holes in the movie that I didn't see at first. But when they said it, I was like, yeah, you know what? When you think about it, that's true. But the same way it can be said, I've talked with people where I point out what I like, and they say, I didn't look at it that way. That's true, because it's all about how we see it. It's subjective. And so I look at one thing, and I see this. Another person looks at one thing, sees that. So everything that I like about the movie, I would say 90% is still true. I would say there are some things that I didn't really like pay attention to or say like, wow, what people point out. And I was like, you know what, that doesn't work, or that doesn't, you know. As I think I like the cleverness of the story, as I mentioned, with some of the devices and how they set up the relationships. I like that. And I like the scene where you have the first scene when they get the powers and, like, Reed's, like, stretched out and Ben's under the rocks and then Johnny's on fire and he can't do anything. He's trapped and he just gives up. And then to kind of basically redo that scene at the end when they're fighting Doom, but this time he steps up, becomes leader, and this is Reed becoming the leader and the hero of the Fantastic Four in this moment. I like that stuff. But there are some plot holes that didn't make sense logically. And I wouldn't say they didn't make sense logically. I think they could have been easily explained. But through all the edits and the choppiness of the movie, they didn't take time, the quick, you know, minute or two to explain certain things. And so some of it is a little like, what? Where did that come from? Or why that doesn't make sense how that goes. So overall, this movie, I give it a 5 out of 10. I don't think I've ever said my score. It's 5 out of 10. But for origin story, it's not bad. It's not bad. I think it's still delivering on its job of doing what it's supposed to do. I want to see more, and I understand kind of where they're coming from. Was it a good movie? No. I said that it wasn't a good movie by those standards, but by the standards of setting up a franchise, I was fine with it. A lot of people don't like this movie. I get that. But I don't know a lot of people that can say they don't like this Fantastic Four. You may not like Doom. There's a big range of people that either hate or love Doom. But as far as Fantastic Four, you can't sit here and say, I just hate this Fantastic Four. I don't care about them. For whatever you felt about this movie, I think going forward, if they did somehow, for some reason, go forward with a sequel, we would be interested. We want to see more Michael B. Jordan as the Torch, you know, see what he does next. We want to see more of Miles Teller's Reed, and we want to see more Doom. Maybe you don't like the way he looked or how he came off or the way they used him. Well, there's all just reasons for another movie, and you want to see more. So I think at the end of the day, it was a movie that was rushed, a movie that was redid and changed by the studio from what the director wanted. I think two different visions clashed on the screen, and we got a mess. But I think there's a lot of good qualities that you can pick out, and I think there's enough good qualities you could pick out that says, hey, we should continue on with this movie because it set up what we're trying to go for. That will be determined. In the U.S., it flopped, but don't forget, there are a lot of movies that barely do anything in America and just blow up for like $200 million overseas because they take things differently in different countries. So we're not sure. We're not sure. I'm not by any means saying that this is going to do anything. I'm just saying we got to wait, because if the overall box office comes back at $300 million, oh, the studio in heartbeat is going to make another movie, despite what America felt. So we got to keep looking, but as far as seeing this movie and, you know, reviewing it, I still think, I heard some people say that, you know, it's just, even though it's bad and stuff, it's kind of something you got to be a part of, that you need to go witness for yourself to see if it's really as bad as people say it is, or if you might like something that people didn't like. I think it's worth going to see on the matinee for $5-$6 and just check it out. All right, so moving on. Done with that. Done with that Fantastic Four. So sad. Moving on to Ant-Man. Saw this a few weeks ago. It was like the week after it came out that weekend. It was not that packed up a place. Not a lot of people went to go see it. It was at night, too, so, but, you know, whatever. But getting into the movie, Ant-Man is the next, well, the last piece into Marvel's Phase 2, but the newest addition. It kind of lets setting us up for phase three. So just kind of breaking it down from the story. The story of the movie, to me, was, how do I say this? I think this is where the movie hurt me the most, is the story. Because I didn't care. I really didn't care. It's just kind of like, all right, here's this guy, he's got jail. He's trying to get a job and take care of his daughter. Like, I could get that, but really Paul Rudd, I guess it's more an acting section, Paul Rudd, he didn't really make me care that much. Like, even the scenes with his daughter. And it, like, it's not, I don't know if it's his fault because they really wanted a goofy tone, like, every second of the movie. So it was like I wasn't really invested because it was just so goofy. It was like, yeah, he doesn't, or he wants to be with his daughter, but they're making jokes with her, too, and everything's just a joke, so I didn't really buy in too much. Then you got a guy who created, you know, the superhero thing, trying to keep it away, and now this company's trying to recreate his invention. Then they're going to give it to the military, blah, blah, blah. It's really cookie cutter. It's like what we've heard a million times before. He's got something going on with his daughter. She's like a spy inside. Yeah. It just, I didn't care. Like, I really did not care about the story. Like, and I think you get that sometimes with Marvel, because especially later in the phases, they've just really been about, we're going to throw something at you. It's either going to be over-the-top action scenes, it's going to be over-the-top jokes, something, we're going to throw something at you just to make you go, ooh, ah, and screw the story. And that's really what I've been getting out of most Marvel movies. And this was no different. I think this had potential to be different because they didn't throw a lot of action at you. It was a lot of comedy. It wasn't like Guardians of the Galaxy, but it was comedy. And I think if they would have took those serious moments a little more seriously, it would have been different. Like the birthday party with his daughter. If they would have cut out the jokes and made it more heartfelt. You know, just those few moments. It didn't have to be everything, but everything was a joke, so I just never really cared. So overall, like, the story didn't mean much to me. It was just another villain. If he does this, he's going to do this to the world, and blah, 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 blah. It was kind of whatever. I do like the whole... I like the dynamic between Cross and the fact that, you know, he was kind of a mentor and he kind of shut him out. Cross, I don't know, I'm like blending between acting and story right now, sorry. The guy that, Corey Stoll, that played Cross, great actor. I love, well, I only seen him a few times, but the time, cause I don't watch the TV shows he's in, but the few movies I've seen him in, he's just like a scene stealer. Like, he has a presence. And I think he's a great actor. I think he portrayed his anger so well. But going to the story part of it, it was no reason. Like, they never set it up. Like, yes, we know Pym was his mentor, but then he didn't want to tell him the formula or whatever. And that was it. And this dude is just, like, obsessively stalkerish, angry, want to kill Pym. Over that, it was like they didn't get deep enough into it. Like, I believe the anger coming from Stoll, but I didn't, there was no reason for it. They never gave me a reason for him to be that upset and that crazed. So that was, you know, that was hit or miss. I like that dynamic, but again, it just wasn't set up as well. Yeah, man, really, to be honest, most of the story I didn't like. I mean, the story, just it didn't matter to me, I would say. As far as acting, like I said, Stoll stood out. Him as Cross was great. He's one of the better villains Marvel's had. It's just intensity. And as far as Yellow, like, I heard someone say they like Cross better than Yellow Jacket, and I think that's true. Yellow Jacket was kind of throwaway. It was just like, okay, this last fight scene, he's in the suit, whatever. But Cross himself, I think, was a better villain. Just, he was pretty intimidating. Like, he's smart and he's just really angry. I don't know, he's intense. I liked his performance. Paul Rudd as Ant-Man or Scott Lang was so forgettable. And Michael Douglas as Pym. Some people say they really liked him as Pym. I didn't get much. He didn't do much as Pym. I mean, he was just kind of there. Those two were forgettable to me. I really, like, you knew Rudd was there, but it was just forgettable. I didn't really care much. Besides that he was Ant-Man, I didn't care much. Michael Pena, as we all know, if you saw the movie, stood out as one of the little sidekicks to Scott Lang. And it was funny because people were like, Michael Pena broke out. I was like, have you seen some of his movies? Have you seen End of Watch with him and Gyllenhaal? That man's acting goes way beyond the stereotypical Hispanic dude. Like, he was funny and it was great in the movie, but Michael Pena's been beasting. And so if you haven't seen him, you need to check out some of his other movies. But he definitely stood out in this movie as one of the bright parts. So my overall impression, this was just another piece of machinery in the Marvel machine, or a piece of, like, another gear in the Marvel machine. It was like, all right, place this here so we can keep rolling. I don't think it meant much in the end. Like I said, the threat wasn't all that great, and there was nothing real value added. It's just really, it was an origin story, somewhat, but it was just adding another character to the cinematic universe. I don't think Cross or his lab or anything that happened with Ant-Man really was big. The best part of the movie was the fight with him and Falcon. That was the best part of the movie. So here's one thing, and I guess this is kind of moving to the impact in the future. When this movie is coming out, it was said by the Marvel execs that the time period this movie takes place is before the Avengers, like a year before all that stuff happened in New York. Now, when the movie actually came out, if you've seen it, we can see that's not the case. At some point, they changed it to where this is after the Avengers. This is after the Avengers whole thing. And so one thing I saw in the movie that felt forced was all these Avengers references. And so it didn't seem natural to me, like the whole, what's called Avengers, they're too busy dropping cities on. Like, you could tell that scene was added. That scene was added right before it came out. Because before, this movie was supposed to be set before the Avengers, which would have been nice. And I thought I had some theories on how that would have worked, but clearly the addition of Spider-Man changed things. Of course, they changed the dates for some of the timeline on the movies, and I think they just switched it up a little bit. And so the Avengers stuff felt forced to me. Even the fact of him going to the Avengers, headquarters and fighting Falcon. Again, that scene to me seemed added because of all the set shoots and all the different things, no one's seen Mackie. We haven't seen Mackie in that suit. Like, it seemed added. Like, after whatever they changed or decided to change, they said, all right, we got to shoot this scene. And we know they always have reshoots, so this definitely could have been easily one of the scenes they added to the movie. But it definitely didn't seem like it was part of it. So those little references were a little forced to me. And so I didn't like that. But what it did is, as far as impact, it sets up the connection between the movie. Because really, if you didn't have that fight scene with Falcon, and I don't care if you had a little throwaway line about the Avengers, you wouldn't feel that this movie was connected. Besides seeing Marvel, you wouldn't feel that this movie is connected to the Avengers world. And so those were really needed to set up because, and another reason I feel those were added is because at the time that those comments was made and Ant-Man was being made, there was no Civil War. Civil War was announced as a reaction to Batman versus Superman, despite what everybody wants to say it was, because that was Captain America 3 for the longest time. It was supposed to be a movie about Cap going after the Winter Soldier. And then once, you know, all this stuff happened, they decided to go Civil War, switch gears, and go Iron Man versus Cap. Then they got Spider-Man, which switched another gear. So I think those were the triggers that had to change Ant-Man timeline-wise, and they had to really connect them because this is the last movie before Civil War. Now, if Captain America 3, you know, Chase the Winter Soldier or whatever you wanted to call it, if that was the next movie, I guarantee you they wouldn't care about connecting Ant-Man as much because really that's not a huge movie. It's the next Cap movie, but it's like we don't really have to set you up for anything. But since it's Captain America now, or since it's now Civil War, Ant-Man was changed. Like the end credit scenes, like all the credit scenes, like all that stuff. You could tell it was last minute addition because you had Mackie and Chris Evans go down for the reshoot, which they shot those right before Civil War shooting started. So you could tell those were last minute additions. And so I really think making the decision to go Civil War really changed the gears of Ant-Man. Not too much, but timeline-wise and things of that nature. So the movie connects itself to the Avengers. Now Falcon is kind of looking for Ant-Man, and he has prior experience with him, blah, blah, blah. So it's you know, it's cool. So now it's connected. The future. The movie made decent money. I think it, like I said, made around 50, I believe. The critics' review wasn't bad or anything. It was pretty fresh. Double check where it's at right now. But it was pretty fresh. Most people enjoyed it. A lot of people say it was a different movie than Marvel's other movies. I don't necessarily agree with that. Yeah, so it's at 79%, which is pretty high. We'll see if it moves down there at all. But it's a decent movie. I don't have any problems with it. I said it was a decent C-plus movie to me. I gave it a strong 6 out of 10. It's not bad. Wasn't anything spectacular. So the future, as we know, Paul Rudd will be in Civil War. So he'll be part of that ensemble. I think he's going to go forward into the Infinity Wars movies. But as far as another Ant-Man movie, I don't see where that comes unless it's Phase 4 because we're going into Phase 3. At the end of Phase 3, all these actors and actresses pretty much are going to be done. You might have some that try to stay, but for the most part, the big names are gone. So now they're trying to set you up with the next wave, with Scarlet Witch, with Falcon, with Ant-Man, with Vision, all those different things. And so I think you'll see him later in Phase 4 as far as the solo movie, but we won't be seeing that anytime soon. So Ant-Man is just the issue I have overall is that this was kind of a throwaway movie to me. It didn't add much, like I said, like and you saw in credit scene where Winter Soldier, which had nothing to do with the Ant-Man. You had the small reference to Spider-Man, which was whatever. People were going crazy over that, and it was so stupid. But anyway, I just think it was a throwaway movie, and it was not a lot of value added. And the character, and man, I don't care about. I said this from the beginning. I wish it was Hank Pym version and not Scott Lang version, because Hank Pym's more interesting. He's more formidable because he's smarter than Tony Stark and everybody else. He's smarter than Banner or just the smartest man. And so even without the Ant-Man suit, he can create and do different things. And, like, if you watch the cartoon version of Avengers, like, I like Hank more than most of them. And so I really think that they lost something not going with Hank Pym and going with Scott Lang, because Scott Lang outside the Ant-Man suit is super boring and just he's unforgettable. I mean, unforgettable. He's forgettable. And so I just didn't really jive with him that well. So I really wish that they did go with Hank Pym, because I think it would have been for it would have made for a much more compelling movie and compelling story going forward. Paul Rudd as Scott Lang, as I said, it's just not, it doesn't do it for me. It doesn't do it for me at all. And I'm not sure how big of a role he will play going forward with the Marvel stuff until Phase 4, as I said before. So the mentioning of Wasp in there, of course, Janet Van Dyne, who's the original Wasp, was mentioned, and then now Hope Van Dyne, her daughter, will take over. She'll be the Wasp. I really liked the actress, I believe, Evangeline Lilly as Hope. She didn't do much. They didn't develop her at all, and, you know, she was kind of throwaway. But just her presence was very strong, and it was very felt as Hope Van Dyne. I really liked her, and I really like to see more of her. And I'm interested to see what they do with her as the Wasp going forward, but I just don't feel it'll be anything big. And the last thing I guess I'll say is just, I was really shocked that they didn't go more into the past of Hank Pym. Like they said, we have, like, I know the opening scene was like a little flashback and all that, but we didn't get as much as I thought. I thought we would get more into the original Avengers and Hank Pym and Janet being part of Avengers before this Avengers. And again, I really think that changing the Civil War and bringing in Spider-Man has switched up gears for Marvel's writing team, because I know that was the direction they were heading in, talking about original Avengers and more of what Hank Pym did. But in the movie, there was none there. And so I think the gears have been switched. And it's unfortunate. I like the way it was setting up before the whole Civil War thing, but now the Civil War has been changed. So, yeah, that's my review. 6 out of 10, solid movie. Wouldn't mind going to see it, but nothing too big to scream about. So if you like what you heard, like always, please hit that follow button. Log on to Twitter or Facebook. Leave comments, feedback. This has been the Comic Movie Universe, a.k.a. the CMU. I'm your host, Terry. Thanks for listening.